Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest is Toby Slough. He is the senior pastor, lead pastor at a church down in Texas. It seems back in about the year 2000, he and his wife, Mika, began pursuing a dream God had put in their hearts, and that was to start a new church. He was already pastoring, but to start a new church, and he and his family and 12 other families began meeting, of all places, in the back of a bar. And they launched Cross Timbers Church, and it has now grown to two campuses over the last 20 years. And God is doing some amazing things. They're developing a community center model that seeks to address the needs of their communities and really determined to reach out to people who might not ordinarily stumble into church. And God's been blessing it. So Toby, we want to welcome you to the broadcast and particularly want to talk with you about your newest book. Now, you've written several books, but you have a new one out. And it's called Not Yet. So tell us about that title.
Well, Not Yet came out of a 25-year battle that I've had with panic and anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. And I really thought of the name. I feel like the Lord gave me the name as I was reflecting on that journey and remembering how much of my time I wasted making a deal with God that if he would just do this, I would do something else.
Yes.
If I've discovered anything over the last 25 years, it's been this, is that freedom isn't the absence of anything. It's the presence of someone.
And amen.
God meets us in the not yet moments of life. And amen. I am a living testimony to someone who has not had his most fervent prayer answered. And yet God has set me free.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, I appreciate your transparency, your vulnerability. Because there are a lot of people out there struggling, and many of them are afraid to admit it. There's a sense of shame that shouldn't be, and a sense that, you know, somehow this must be my fault. Now, a lot of our problems are our fault, but yes. Some, you know, a turtle doesn't get on top of a fence post by itself. And a lot of what we experience, both in terms of success and in terms of our struggles, are not entirely our doing. I'd like to ask you if you would share how you came to know Jesus, because as you say, knowing him makes all the difference. But how did you come? You're still learning to know him more, as Paul the Apostle writes in Philippians 3. But how did you get introduced to Jesus, and how did you come to trust him as your Savior and Lord?
Well, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, grew up in a very, I would call it, religious home. I would say that in my, probably three times in my teenage years, I walked an aisle, I prayed a prayer, mm-hmm. I filled out a card, but it wasn't until I came to the end of myself.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was out of options, and I'll never forget where I was. I was a college student. I knew that the way I was living my life wasn't working.
Yep.
It was about 6:45 in the morning that I looked at the ceiling and just said, "It's not working. I give up. I surrender to you." And it was in that moment, I believe, that I was saved. I think that it was in that moment that that's when I began to experience God's power, not because I had – I'm not against, obviously – filling out a card, walking an aisle, any of that.
Yeah.
Until you kind of toss the keys to Jesus and say, "I can't do it." And he's Amen. The only option. And when he becomes the only option, then that's my story. My story has been a work in process, but I distinctly remember the place where I was lying the moment I gave my life to Christ, I think in a way that began a transforming work in me.
Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things we're going to talk about in this conversation is the 40 I ams. Mm-hmm. And we're not, I don't want to go there yet, but you encourage people in a wonderful way to believe what God says about those who are in Christ. And yet in order for us to be in Christ, we have to, as you described, come to the end of ourselves.
Yes.
You know, I've known people who want to experience the victorious Christian life. They want, you know, all the goodies. They want all the positives, but they're still trying to get God basically to be their turbocharger. You know, they're going to be the engine. They're going to be the driver,
yeah.
but they need God to give them that extra boost. They want God to come along and enhance their lives. And the Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yes.
It's not enough to have Jesus as one of the most important things in your life, or even as the most important thing in your life. He's got to be your life.
Yes.
You've got to come to the point basically where you bow at the cross and realize he took my place. I deserve that. I deserve God's wrath. And Jesus suffered for me so that all these I am statements could be true, so
yes.
that we could know him. I think that's one reason why your testimony is so valuable, is because people need to know that this walk with God is not about God just coming along and saying, you're doing a great job, keep it up, you know, this is wonderful, love you just the way you are, and in fact, I'd urge you to just stay that way. That's not the gospel, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, we have said around here for years that God loves you right where you are. It's impossible for him to love you any more, any less than you do in this very moment. But because he loves you, God doesn't expect you to stay where you are.
And
Amen. A part of a relationship with him, hope is not a strategy. Hope is not
yes.
an idea. It is a person. And
yes.
hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. And so
Amen.
As I give and surrender my life to him, as I grow in my relationship with him, as I learn to like what he likes, whether
yes.
I like it or not. I got married 35 years ago. I hate cats. I don't think there's going to be any cats in heaven. I like country music in Texas because there ain't never been a country western song about cats. Guess what? There are four cats at my house. Why? Because I like my wife. And I begin to like what my wife likes.
Yes.
That's a growing relationship. Somehow, a relationship that is built on conditions.
Yeah.
That a conditional relationship with a God that loves me unconditionally is dysfunctional. And so I've got to constantly, God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for progress.
Mm-hmm.
And the progress he's looking for, am I being shaped in his image? We all love Paul saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I mean,
yes.
all over our walls, we etched it up. Nobody put 2 Corinthians 12 where Paul said, the thing I prayed for the most, God said, no, my
yes.
grace is sufficient. My power shows up in weakness. God is not a genie in a bottle.
Amen.
Give your life to him, and all of a sudden, all of your dreams are going to come true. It's you give your life to him, and over time, you realize that you are a part of his dream.
Amen.
That you have a destiny in him. And so when I hate to use this word for people who are locked in this battle of mental health, but the gift of 25 years of God saying, no, I never would have dreamed that my life statement would be Paul's, that no, my yeah. grace is sufficient. But the testimony of it is, I do not need God to lift it off of me for me to be in right and in relationship with him. He has
yes.
taught me how to trust him more and more every day.
Praise God.
Because his grace is sufficient. His power shows up in my mess, not in my perfection.
Amen. Amen. He's the perfect one.
Yes. And at some point, you've got to decide. I've got to decide. Is he good? And does he want good for me?
Yeah.
And if he's good and he wants good for me, then I can trust him. Even when I'm in the fog of a season we're in right now. Think about it, Jim. I mean, this country is in the biggest not yet season of any of our lifetimes.
Yeah.
And the question is God good? Is God, has he got good plans for us? Yes, he does. Yeah. And so even I don't have to like what's happening around me to walk in faith with him. I can be annoyingly optimistic because I've decided he's good and he wants what's good for me.
Amen. You know, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? But
amen.
If you were standing at the foot of the cross as Jesus was dying, it sure didn't look like the plan was going well. It did not, it was not what Jesus' disciples expected, despite the fact that he told them repeatedly that this is what was going to have to happen.
Yes.
Now you talk about your battle with anxiety, with depression, even panic attacks. When did you get to the point where you began to admit to yourself that that's what's going on? And did somebody else reach that conclusion before you did, or did you begin to reach that conclusion and then decide, I need to share with others what's happening to me?
Well, that's a great question. You know, 25 years ago, the word anxiety, panic, even depression were not words that anyone was, I had no context into which to put this. At that time, Christian counseling was, listening to James Dobson, but they're on his radio show. They're really, that wasn't like it is today. And so as I began to experience 17 days, quite honestly, of pacing the hall of my house at night, not being able to eat, not being able to sleep, literally, you know, making deals with God, I'll do anything if you'll take this from me, until finally, you know, here I am. I'm in my 30s. I'm pastoring a church that's growing. I have a beautiful wife, two young kids, and I'm driving down the interstates south of Dallas, and I catch myself wondering, if I run into a bridge abutment at 65 miles an hour, would anyone know I did it on purpose? And I just, I was in this spot of anything's better than what I'm going through. Yeah. And it was in that moment that I went back several days later to my wife and said, I need some help. I'm not really sure what's going on with me. Yeah. And with another friend that I confessed to, you know, the greatest fear in my life, and I think everyone's life, is we want to be fully known, but we're scared if we're fully known, we won't be fully loved. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And so this vice grip of, I want to be fully known, but what if I'm not, but I can't be fully known until I'm fully loved. And so that's why James says that you confess to be healed. That's the key to get you out of the prison of not being fully known and yet fully loved. And it was in that moment when I told my wife, my dear friend, when I began to see this counselor, that I discovered that it was possible for God to love me unconditionally. And I began a journey of peeling back lots of layers of just what I would call glitches in the computer system, my brain, of how I process things, a huge performance-based mentality, lies that I had believed about myself, about God. And I determined in my heart, I felt very alone, very isolated, and I determined in my heart that anything that there was no healing in hiding and that my greatest weapon against this battle of mental illness was to be honest about where I was.
Amen.
And
amen.
I think most people that I meet, most people that come to me that I have conversation with, that's the line they won't cross. It's I'm and inside it's a deep fear of feeling weak. Right.
Yep.
And it's a fear of feeling less than. And the actual weapon gets taken out of your hand to defeat an enemy that's whispering a lie to you. Your greatest weapon is confession. It's just telling the truth.
Yeah.
And so that's been, for me, a 25-year journey of, you can always tell when I'm struggling because I'm going to talk about that issue. And I'm going to talk about that issue because it's in that public profession of not that I figured it out,
yeah,
but that I am a work in process. I'm still battling that. I think God does his greatest work.
Praise God.
Even in the midst of all that, I'm grateful for the hundreds upon hundreds of people that have said that it was someone else admitting their weakness that got them the place where they would admit theirs.
Amen. Amen. Well, I thank you so much for your honesty, and I appreciate so much the fact that you're not just saying, hey, I've got a problem. You're saying, hey, I've got a problem, and I've found someone who is the solution. And yes. and the reason he's the solution is not because he makes all of our problems go away, but because he not only meets us in the storm, but he gets us to the other side.
Yes, yes. I always say, you know, everybody wants to be an overcomer, but nobody wants anything to overcome, you know, and a part of the gift, I think, of whatever challenge our listeners are feeling right now is in that challenge lies a potential for you to discover that you have the Spirit of Jesus that will allow you to overcome it.
Amen. The I am statements, let's talk about those a little bit. These are all straight out of scripture, and I'm going to refer you to some of them, and then we'll talk about a few. I am a child of the living God. I am forgiven. I am saved by grace through faith. I am a new creature. I am a partaker of his divine nature. I am an heir of God and co-heir with Jesus Christ. I am, and here we, all of those so far, people are like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Here's one that you also include, and I'm so glad you did. I am observing and doing the Lord's commandments. Oh, yes. You mean obedience is part of this journey?
Yes, it is, for sure.
How important is it that we recognize that when we become new creatures in Christ, it's supposed to work itself out in a transformed lifestyle?
Yes.
We become different. Now, it's not instantaneous, and then we never sin anymore. But why, as I often say here at Weir's Valley Ranch, I'm not claiming to be sinless, but I do sin less.
Yes, yes. Yes, that's a good word. You know, these 40 I ams really are about who God says that I am. And second part is, it's either what God says that I am, or it's here's what God is doing in my life, and I'm going to join him in. And when my son was a little boy, and when he would pitch a fit with his mother or do whatever little boys do, I would look at him and say, you're a slough, and sloughs don't act like that. Because I wanted to remind him that his identity was the driving force behind his actions.
Amen.
Right? So I want to speak what my identity is, which is I am a child of God. I may not feel like a child of God, but I am.
Amen.
And I also want to speak that I am overcoming my enemy. Even though it feels like I'm losing, I'm winning. I want to declare those things, Jim. For me personally, I mean, we know, you know this, our faith, it's a verbal faith. That when Jesus spoke to that wind on that storm-tossed sea, he wasn't just calming the storm. He was showing his disciples, by the words that you speak, you have the potential to create a new atmosphere around you. So it's when I'm the least feeling that I am observing and doing the Lord's will, I need to remind myself, you're a child of the King. That's your identity.
Yes.
And here's what you're doing. And it's, that's not hypocritical. It's called speaking in faith.
Amen. And it's not speaking whatever we want in order to make our will come true. It's speaking what God says in order that we might walk out his will.
Yes. The liturgical nature of regularly going back to these 40 I ams. And it's crazy, Jim, because when I first shared them with our church family, and it was just, it was me sharing a tool that someone had put in my hand.
Yes.
That this, over the last 12 years of my ministry, 12, 14 years, this is the number one tool that we have downloaded, that we passed out tens of thousands of them. Why? Because people are finding victory and beginning to confess who God says that they are and how that identity drives their activity.
That's beautiful. So I am also more than a conqueror. And yes. I am walking by faith and not yes. by sight. And I am being a co-laborer with God. Now, I want to pause on that one for a moment, because one of the things I love about your ministry is you're not just trying to get a bigger and bigger crowd every week. You have been focused on equipping others and sending them out. Share with us some stories of transformed lives that are now out making a difference in the lives of others.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. You know, the motor of this ministry is that people whose lives have been changed are empowered to now go help change other people's lives. I'm thinking of a friend of mine that I saw just 30 minutes before this broadcast. She, her husband left her with two young kids. Marriage blew up, infidelity. Mm-hmm. She came to a place here in town to get food. She's trying to raise them mm-hmm. as a single mom. And I talked to her 10 minutes ago because she works on our team here leading Praise the ministry that passes out food every Friday night
Praise God.
Here. And how God has used her pain to shape her life to have compassion for others. It almost sounds biblical, doesn't it? He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can bring comfort to others. I think about Amen. My friend Scott, who sat in the front row of our services almost 18 years ago when I took a chainsaw and sawed a lazy boy in half and said, mm-hmm. God is not calling you to a life of comfort. It's time to go live the adventure. And Praise his testimony, God. Not mine, he walked out. And as one who had recovered from a serious drug addiction, began in our county a ministry that now judges refer offenders. And so you can either go to jail or you can go to his program. He's seen
Praise God.
Hundreds upon thousands of men and women get set free using biblical principles and teaching them about taking personal responsibility. I mean, the list could go on of just people who have begun to believe the truth about themselves and about God and have gone back into their workplaces, they're the places God has sent them as accountants and as business leaders, and how the atmosphere in those places have changed because of the way their life has been renewed. I think that's what the kingdom is supposed to be. Is
Amen.
You know, like for us, traditionally, I think our view of that the center of a Christian life is a 1 hour a week service. You know, the center of the 1 hour a week service ought to equip you and empower you to go out and do the real ministry of allowing God to use you, that any place that you walk, the temperature ought to shift because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus lives in you. And so people beginning to get a vision of that confidence, high school students, you know, we have a huge, huge problem, Jim, in this country in mental health with teenagers today.
Yes.
And because I'm kind of known as, you know, the guy who talks about these issues, so many of them have been attracted to our ministry and them beginning to go out in their circles of influence and beginning to teach a different message with their lives. I think the greatest part of this story has not been written yet.
Yeah. Paul says in Romans 12, as you offer your body as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to him, that is intelligent worship. And you will be able, as your mind is renewed and your life is transformed, you'll be able to demonstrate that God's will, after all, is good and acceptable, perfect. Even when we go through suffering, even in the not yet moments, and that is the perfect title for your book. Not yet. Even when we're in the midst of the waiting and the suffering, God's plan turns out to be perfect. So Toby, thank you so much for coming on the program and sharing what God's doing in your life. We pray God's blessing on you, and I hope you'll pray for us.
For sure, Jim. It's an honor to be with you. It really is. And I'm so grateful that God believes in us even more than we believe in us.
Bless you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.